Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Oh, today is the disappearance day of Sri Madhavendra Puri, a great devotee in the Brahma Madhava Gaudiya Sampradaya. He introduced ecstatic love of Godhead in the mood of separation from Krishna, and in particular in the mood of Srimati Radharani in Vrindavan after Krishna left Vrindavan to go to Mathura. He displayed many wonderful activities and characteristics that are described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. But today we will focus just on his disappearance pastime. This pastime is described incidentally in relation to a disciple of Sri Madhavendra Puri called Ramachandra Puri, who became a great offender. And how he became such an offensive person is related to Srila Madhavendra Puri's final pastimes. So I'll read the brief summary of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Lila, Chapter 8. Ramachandra Puri criticizes the Lord. The following summary of the 8th chapter is given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Pravaha Bhashya. This chapter describes the history of the Lord's dealings with Ramachandra Puri. Although Ramachandra Puri was one of the disciples of Madhavendra Puri, he was influenced by dry Mayavadis, and therefore he criticized Madhavendra Puri. Therefore, Madhavendra Puri accused him of being an offender and rejected him. Because Ramachandra Puri had been rejected by his spiritual master, he became concerned only with finding faults in others and advising them according to dry Mayavad philosophy. For this reason, he was not very respectful to the Vaishnavas. And later he became so fallen that he began criticizing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for his eating. Hearing his criticisms, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reduced his eating. But after Ramachandra Puri left Jagannath Puri, the Lord resumed his usual behavior. So now we will begin with text 17. Eta svabhava tanra agraha kariya piche ninda kare age bahuta koyana. The characteristic of Ramachandra Puri was that first he would induce someone to eat more than necessary, and then he would criticize him. Purveyabe Madhavendra Karene Antardana Ramachandra Puritabe Ailatanra Stana. Formerly, when Madhavendra Puri was in the last stage of his life, Ramachandra Puri came to where he was staying. Puri Gosane Kare Krishna Nama Sankirtana Matharana Painu Bali Karine Krandana. Madhavendra Puri was chanting the holy name of Krishna, and sometimes he would cry, "Oh my Lord, I did not get shelter at Mathura." Ramachandra Puri Tabe Upadeshe Tanre Shishyana Guru Ke Kahe Bayanahi Kare. Then Ramachandra Puri was so foolish that he fearlessly dared to instruct his spiritual master. Tumi Purna Brahmananda Karaha Smarana Brahmavitana Kene Karaha Rodana. If you are in full transcendental bliss, he said, you should now remember only Brahman. Why are you crying? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahmabhuta Prasanatma, a Brahman-realized person is always happy. Nasochati Nakangshati, he neither laments nor aspires for anything. Not knowing why Madhavendra Puri was crying, Ramachandra Puri tried to become his advisor. Thus he committed a great offense, for a disciple should never try to instruct his spiritual master. 22. Suni Madhavendra Mane Krodha Upajila Dura Dura Papishta Bali Barsana Karila. Hearing this instruction, Madhavendra Puri, greatly angry, rebuked him by saying, "Get out, you sinful rascal." Purport. Ramachandra Puri could not understand that his spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri, was feeling transcendental separation. His lamentation was not material. Rather, it proceeded from the highest stage of ecstatic love of Krishna. He was crying in separation, "I could not achieve Krishna. I could not reach Mathura." This was not ordinary material lamentation. Ramachandra Puri was not sufficiently expert to understand the feelings of Madhavendra Puri. But nevertheless, he thought himself very advanced. Therefore, regarding Madhavendra Puri's expressions as ordinary material lamentation, he advised him to remember Brahman, because he was latently an impersonalist. Madhavendra Puri understood Ramachandra Puri's position as a great fool, and therefore immediately rebuked him. Such a reprimand from the spiritual master is certainly for the betterment of the disciple. So, it is very hard for ordinary people, even aspiring transcendentalists, to understand spiritual personality, spiritual thoughts, spiritual emotions, spiritual desires, and spiritual activities. Every conditioned soul identifies with the material body and thinks that individuality and personality are attributes of an embodied soul. They have no idea that the liberated soul, the pure soul, the realized soul, is also individual and personal. Because of material conditioning and ignorance, they think that to escape the miseries of conditioned life that are experienced by individual persons in the material world, one should give up one's individual personality. But this is also a material conception on the relative platform. There is no spiritual knowledge or absolute knowledge. The ignorant person thinks that I'm an individual and I am suffering. Therefore, the cause of my suffering is my individuality. And to become free from suffering, I must give up my individuality. So it is just a relative material calculation. Because without the association of a Vaishnava, one cannot imagine spiritual individuality. But when one is fortunate to get the association of a pure devotee and to study the Vedic scriptures under his guidance and direction, one can understand that beyond material conditioned individuality is spiritual, blissful personality, and that the absolute truth is ultimately a person, Krishna. And we are ultimately eternal servants of the Supreme Person. So Ramachandra Puri, although he was supposed to be a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, he really did not understand spiritual personality, spiritual thinking, feeling, desiring. He didn't understand any of it. But he was so proud of his impersonal ideas that he acquired through bad association, through the association of Mayavadi speculators. He thought that he was superior to his spiritual master. And when his spiritual master was crying in separation from Krishna, Ramachandra Puri thought he was crying in mundane lamentation. And so he advised him to give up his lamentation and just fix his consciousness on Brahman. When Madhavendra Puri heard this nonsense from his so-called disciple, he became angry. Krodha upajila. Anger arose in him. And this is another transcendental phenomenon that is very difficult for mundane fruitive workers and impersonal mental speculators to understand. Generally, in material life, everyone is working for his own pleasure, for his own sense gratification. And if he is frustrated in his attempts to enjoy materially, he becomes angry. In fact, in Sanskrit, there is a word kamanuja. Anuja means a younger brother. And kam means lust. So anger is called kamanuja. Anger is the younger brother of lust, because wherever the older brother goes, the younger brother follows. But when we read here of Madhavendra Puri, Krodha Upajila, that anger arose in him, that anger was not due to frustration of personal desires for sense gratification, but rather it arose because of an obstacle to Krishna's service, which means ultimately an obstacle to Krishna's pleasure. So conditioned souls, materialistic people, become angry when there's an obstacle to their pleasure, so-called pleasure of sense gratification. But a devotee can become angry when there is an obstacle to Krishna's pleasure. And especially devotees are enjoined to become angry if there is an offense committed against the Lord or a devotee of the Lord. He's not supposed to just meekly tolerate, but he's supposed to become angry and either defeat the offender in argument or kill the offender or at least leave the place so that he's not subjected to hearing the offensive talk. So Madhavendra Puri rejected Ramachandra Puri and told him to get out. So then what happened? Text 23. Krishna na painu na painu matura apana duke maron heti te aila jwala. Oh my Lord Krishna, I could not reach you, nor could I reach your abode, Mathura. I am dying in my unhappiness, and now this rascal has come to give me more pain. More dukha na dekhabi tuyayo yati tati tore dekhi maila mara habe asadgati. Don't show your face to me. Go anywhere else you like. If I die seeing your face, I shall not achieve the destination of my life. Krishna na painu muni maron apanra duke more brahma upadeshe e chara murke. I'm dying without achieving the shelter of Krishna, and therefore I am greatly unhappy. Now this condemned foolish rascal has come to instruct me about Brahman. Eyeshu Madhavendra Shripad Upeksha Karila Se Aparade Inhara Vasana Janmila. Ramachandra Puri was thus denounced by Madhavendra Puri due to his offense. Gradually, material desire appeared within him. Purport. The word vasana, material desires, refers to dry speculative knowledge. Such speculative knowledge is only material. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.4, a person without devotional service who simply wants to know things, kevala bodha labhyate, gains only dry speculative knowledge but no spiritual profit. This is also confirmed in the Bhakti Sandarbha 1.11, wherein it is said, Jivan mukta api punar yanti samsara vasanam yadyachintya mahashakto bhagavatya paradinaha. Even though one is liberated in this life, if one offends the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he falls down in the midst of material desires, of which dry speculation about spiritual realization is one. In his Laghu Toshini commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.32, Jiva Goswami says, Jivan mukta api punar bandhanam yanti karma bhi yadyachintya mahashakto bhagavatya paradinaha. Even if one is liberated in this life, He becomes addicted to material desires because of offenses to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A similar quotation from one of the Puranas also appears in the Vishnu Bhakti Chandrodaya. Jivan Mukta Prapadyante Kvachit Samsaravasanam Yogino Na Vilipyante Karmabir Bhagavat Paraha. Even liberated souls sometimes fall down to material desires. But those who are fully engaged in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead are not affected by such desires. These are references from authoritative revealed scriptures. If one becomes an offender to his spiritual master or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he falls down to the material platform to merely speculate. So there are many effects of aparad, and one of the effects is that one develops material desires. Even if one is supposedly liberated but is not a devotee of the Lord, he can fall into material desires, of which impersonal speculation is one. So we should be very careful. There is an interesting discussion in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam about Sati's father Daksha committing an offense, Vaishnava aparad, against Lord Shiva. And the Bhagavatam explains that the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee is very powerful. By serving the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee, one becomes elevated in spiritual consciousness and liberated. But by offending the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee, one goes to hell. So the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee is very powerful, but it can have very different effects depending on whether one serves that dust in a favorable way or one offends that dust. And Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the sun, that the sun can cause a plant or a flower to grow and bloom. But the same sun can also cause a weaker plant to wither and dry. So the same thing can have different effects depending on the candidate. So if one is in the right mood of service and devotion, then the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee is a most powerful instrument for becoming Krishna conscious. Text 27. Shuksha Brahma Jnani Nahi Krishnera Sambandha Sarvaloka Nindakare Nindate Nirbandha. One who is attached to dry speculative knowledge has no relationship with Krishna. His occupation is criticizing Vaishnavas. Thus, he is situated in criticism. Purport. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has explained in his Anubhatsya that the word Nirbandha indicates that Ramachandra Puri had a steady desire to criticize others. Impersonalist Mayavadis who have no relationship with Krishna, who cannot take to devotional service and who simply engage in material arguments to understand Brahman, regard devotional service to Krishna as karma kanda, or fruitive activities. According to them, devotional service to Krishna is but another means for attaining dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Therefore, they criticize the devotees for engaging in material activities. They think that devotional service is maya, and that Krishna or Vishnu is also maya. Therefore, they are called mayavadis. Such a mentality awakens in a person who is an offender to Krishna and his devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Mayavade Krishna Aparadi, that the Mayavadis are the greatest offenders to Krishna. Now we come to the other example of the faithful disciple. 28. Ishwara Puri Gosani Kare Shripada Sevana Svahaste Karena Mala Mutradi Marjana. Ishwara Puri, the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, performed service to Madhavendra Puri, cleaning up his stool and urine with his own hands. Ishwara Puri was always chanting the holy name and pastimes of Lord Krishna for Madhavendra Puri to hear. In this way, he helped Madhavendra Puri remember the holy names and pastimes of Lord Krishna at the time of death. Pleased with Ishwara Puri, Madhavendra Puri embraced him and gave him the benediction that he would become a great devotee and lover of Krishna. Thus, Ishwara Puri became like an ocean of ecstatic love for Krishna, whereas Ramachandra Puri became a dry speculator and a critic of everyone else. Ishwara Puri received the blessing of Madhavendra Puri, whereas Ramachandra Puri received a rebuke from him. Therefore, these two persons, Ishwara Puri and Ramachandra Puri, are examples of the objects of a great personality's benediction and punishment. Madhavendra Puri instructed the entire world by presenting these two examples. His Divine Grace, Madhavendra Puri, the spiritual master of the entire world, thus distributed ecstatic love for Krishna. While passing away from the material world, he chanted the following verse. Aidina dayadranathate mathoranatha kadavalokaise hidayam twad alokakataram daita brahmayati kinkaromyaham. O my Lord, O my most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? In this verse, Madhavendra Puri instructs how to achieve ecstatic love for Krishna. By feeling separation from Krishna, one becomes spiritually situated. Madhavendra Puri sowed the seed of ecstatic love for Krishna within this material world and then departed. That seed later became a great tree in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have incidentally described the passing away of Madhavendra Puri. Anyone who hears this must be considered very fortunate. Hare Krishna. So, just in relation to that most significant verse, that most precious gem, I shall read Srila Prabhupada's purport to it, which comes in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 4, Sri Madhavendra Puri's devotional service. This verse is so confidential that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes it as follows. Text 191. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read the famous verse of Madhavendra Puri. That verse is just like the moon. It has spread illumination all over the world. By continuous rubbing, the aroma of Malaya sandalwood increases. Similarly, by considering this verse, its importance increases. As the Kaustubha money is considered the most precious of valuable stones, this verse is similarly considered the best of mellow poems. Actually, this verse was spoken by Srimati Radharani herself, and by her mercy only was it manifest in the words of Madhavendra Puri. Only Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has tasted the poetry of this verse. No fourth person is capable of understanding it. So who are the only three persons capable of understanding the verse? Would someone raise your hand and I'll call on you, and then you can speak loudly. Achyuta Govinda. Correct. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This indicates that only Srimati Radharani, Madhavendra Puri, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are capable of understanding the purport of this verse. 196. Madhavendra Puri recited this verse again and again at the end of his material existence. Thus uttering this verse, he attained the ultimate goal of life. Aidina Dayadranatha He Mathuranatha Kadavalok Yase Hridayam Twad Alokakataram Dayita Brahm Yati Kim Karom Yaham. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? Purport. The uncontaminated devotees who strictly depend on the Vedanta philosophy are divided into four sampradayas, or transcendental parties. Of the four sampradayas, the Sri Madhvacharya sampradaya was accepted by Madhavendra Puri. Thus he took sannyas according to parampara, the disciplic succession. Beginning from Madhvacharya down to the spiritual master of Madhavendra Puri, the Acharya named Lakshmipati, there was no realization of devotional service in conjugal love. Sri Madhavendra Puri introduced the conception of conjugal love for the first time in the Madhvacharya Sampradaya, and this conclusion of the Madhvacharya Sampradaya was revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he toured southern India and met the Tattvavadis, who supposedly belonged to the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. When Sri Krishna left Vrindavan and accepted the kingdom of Mathura, Srimati Radharani, out of ecstatic feelings of separation, expressed how Krishna can be loved in separation. Thus, devotional service and separation is central to this verse. Worship and separation is considered by the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya to be the topmost level of devotional service. According to this conception, the devotee thinks of himself as very poor and neglected by the Lord. Thus he addresses the Lord as Dina Dayadranatha, as did Madhavendra Puri. Dina Dayadranatha means one who is compassionate to the poor or fallen, one who is merciful to the poor and fallen. Such an ecstatic feeling is the highest form of devotional service. Because Krishna had gone to Mathura, Srimati Radharani was very much affected, and she expressed herself thus: "My dear Lord, because of your separation, my mind has become overly agitated. Now tell me, what can I do? I am very poor, and you are very merciful. So kindly have compassion on me, and let me know when I shall see you." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always expressing the ecstatic emotions of Srimati Radharani that she exhibited when she saw Uddhava at Vrindavan. Similar feelings experienced by Madhavendra Puri are expressed in this verse. Therefore, Vaishnavas in the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya say that the ecstatic feelings experienced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during his appearance came from Sri Madhavendra Puri through Ishwara Puri. All the devotees in the line of the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya accept these principles of devotional service. Hare Krishna. So, are there any questions or comments? Yes? Prem Charu Prabhu?
Thank you very much, Prabhu. The biggest challenge is like the person who is offended, the person who is. He doesn't realize it that he's doing it. So, like it's. How the situation comes where the person who is. Like, if I am offending anyone, I don't even realize it that I am doing that wrong. So that intelligence to discriminate, where does it come from that? What I did is not appropriate.
It's a good question. Prem Charu Prabhu says that when someone commits an offense, he may not be aware that he's committing an offense. So from where does the awareness come? The awareness can come, in broad terms, any knowledge comes by guru. But guru can give instructions in different ways. There's Krishna in the heart, Chaita Guru, and he can give us instruction that, oh, you've committed an offense. And similarly, Vaishnavas, every Vaishnava is a guru, Shiksha Guru, and Vaishnavas can also help us come to the realization. The holy name is Krishna, the holy scriptures are Krishna. So by chanting the holy name, by hearing the revealed scriptures, we can also get enlightenment. Quite often in the criticism of others, there is an element of duplicity, in which the offender himself has some fault that he does not want to acknowledge or confront, and so he tries to divert the attention from himself to others by finding fault with others. And in doing that, he may present himself as an upholder of some principle. Like Ramachandra Puri presented himself as an upholder of the principle that a sannyasi should not eat too much. Now, he himself was rejected by his spiritual master. What could be worse than being rejected by your spiritual master? But he doesn't want to confront the reality that he was rejected by his spiritual master, which was a big thing. And to sort of conceal his own fault, he, poses as a great upholder of religious principles, and especially the principle that a sannyasi should not overeat. So he's basically trying to divert attention from his own major fault by calling attention to other people's relatively minor fault. Of course, in this case, there was no fault at all. He was just, you know, claiming that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates ate too much. There really was no fault. But even if there was a fault, it was relatively minor compared to his fault of offending his spiritual master, which was major. So it's a matter of being honest. You know, honest with oneself and honest with others. One is honest with oneself and honest with others. He will know when he's committing an offense. If someone is sincerely chanting, then committing an offense will disturb his chanting. He'll immediately recognize, oh, my chanting has been disturbed, committed some offense. You know, I have to rectify the offense. I have to stop committing offenses. I'm just ruining my own spiritual life. Hare Krishna. Baladev Prabhu.
When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri, so Ramchandra Puri came, as we know, Ramchandra was often there. So sometime, or it is principal devotee who avoid the often there, because that can cause damage to the spiritual life. So that case we saw that Ramchandra Puri was continuing with all Vaishnava in Jagannath Puri. And Mahaprabhu also took advice of listen to me what he said. So this kind of cheer
behind. Yes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very particular about Vaishnava etiquette. And because Ramachandra Puri was initiated by Sri Madhavendra Puri, he was on the same level in terms of spiritual generations as his own spiritual master, Ishwara Puri. Ishwara Puri and Ramachandra Puri were both initiated by Madhavendra Puri, so they were god brothers. So it is the etiquette to respect the god brothers of one spiritual master the same as one's spiritual master. So he was observing the etiquette. And he also showed the example, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he said that Ramachandra Puri was like a father to him and was instructing him and was caring for his spiritual welfare. So that showed Vaishnav humility. So that was also an example that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us. And in the end, Ramachandra Puri went away on his own accord. So I would say it was really out of respect for Ramachandra Puri's being a disciple of Madhavendra Puri and a god brother of of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master, Ishvara Puri, that he took his criticism or took his instruction as advice from a superior. Yes, Nityananda Prabhu.
In the cultivation of Dhinya, the last prayer that you cited, or to the Lord of Dhinya, is that a prayer that is centrally helpful in the cultivation of Dhinya, or is it more related to prayer?
Well, dhyana is part of prema. That humility is considered the most essential ingredient in pure love. So both are included in the verse, and certainly the repetition of the verse in the proper mood can awaken in us a desire to have those feelings. And ultimately, from the desire to have those feelings and adopting the process by which we can develop those feelings by the grace of the Lord and the devotees, we can experience such feelings. Not exactly the same, but in following in the same line. Baladev?
Ramachandra Puri, because he often this group is going to become speculative. So, sometimes we see what Srila Prabhupada gives to us through Shastra or books. Sometimes we do, we also speculate things which is not related to the Shastra or Srila Prabhupada gives. And that's anything.
Yes, as Srila Prabhupada said, there are only two things that keep us from being pure devotees. One is sense gratification, and the other is mental speculation. Now, we have Ramachandra Puri as an extreme example, but we're not so different from Ramachandra Puri in subtle ways. We also find fault with others. We also criticize Vaishnavas, and we also speculate. We don't take the instructions as they are, but we speculate and try to make adjustments so that Krishna consciousness becomes easier. I mean, it's actually easier to just follow the instructions. But we want to make an adjustment that will allow us to pursue sense gratification and mental speculation with Krishna consciousness. And therefore, to make Krishna consciousness appear compatible with sense gratification, we come up with some speculative idea of what Krishna consciousness is. that allows us to justify or imagine that sense gratification and Krishna consciousness can go together. So, yes, even in the guise of Vaishnavas, people come up with speculative theories. Basically, to avoid surrender. Like, say, the Ritvik theory. As Ravindra Swarup Prabhu said, that Ritvikvad is really fault-finding, elevated to the position of a philosophy. It's really nothing but fault-finding. And it's a convenient way to avoid surrender. Of course, it's true, we don't want to surrender to a wrong person. That's a legitimate concern. But that's a separate issue, how to find a person to whom I can surrender. But to concoct a whole new philosophy that has never existed in the Sampradaya, that has never been found in the scripture, that is something completely different. That is speculation, but it's not so innocent. I mean, it's speculation, but it's not so innocent. It's actually quite pernicious. It's meant to well, there's a lot to it when you get into it. There's a lot to it. But first of all, it means I don't have to surrender. But it's more than that. It's that it's discouraging others from surrendering. I mean, if a Ritvik finds out that you want to surrender to a guru, they'll really get disturbed about it and try to do something about it. And in many cases, they want to become gurus. They'll say, well, you know, Prabhupada's the only real guru. There are no other gurus. So you just take initiation from Prabhupada. And I'll do the initiation on behalf of Prabhupada, and you can just do what I tell you, and everything will be fine. So, in effect, they really want to be gurus. But, you know, maybe because of the whatever, their spiritual disqualifications or what they might consider certain limitations of the institution, certain ecclesiastical considerations will not allow them to initiate in ISKCON. So, you know, they have a philosophy, Prabhupada will initiate, and I'll initiate on behalf of Prabhupada, and I'll just do what I say, and especially if the person is like something like a temple president, you know, Prabhupada wanted everyone to follow the temple president. The temple president's the representative of Srila Prabhupada. So, anyway, it goes on. It goes on. It's not. Yeah, I mean, you could call it speculation or concoction, but it's not all that innocent. that their minds are getting carried away. I mean, yeah, their minds are getting carried away, but they have motives. They have underlying motives. I remember when His Holiness Bhakti True Swami was visiting us in Juhu. He and I were talking, and he made a very nice statement that that we want Prabhupada in the center, and the Ritviks want Prabhupada in the center. But the difference is, we want Prabhupada with associates, and they want Prabhupada without associates, which is impersonal. It's impersonal. Yes?
But, it's true to say that everyone who falls victim to this Ritvik Bhav is actually himself a cheater and being cheated by cheaters. Would be true to say that they're not innocent themselves, and Krishna is catching them out because they actually have some cheating propensity, so Krishna sends them to somebody who has a similar propensity and allows them to associate and keep the others free from such association, because then it helps the movement when we have these people separated. It's like, you know, separating the sheep from the fox. You know, would that be true to say that?
I mean, each case would have to be considered individually. Some people meet Ritviks without even knowing they're Ritviks. They're like new. They don't know they're Ritviks. They don't know much. And then when they meet other devotees and they hear more of the philosophy, they can give up the Ritvik Vad. It's like some spiritual seekers, they meet Mayavadis first. They're not really committed to it. They just happen to meet Mayavadis first, and they have impersonal conceptions. But then when they meet devotees, they can give up their impersonal conceptions. But yes, it could also be true that the Ritvik movement is drawing potential troublemakers outside of ISKCON, which is a service to the movement, so that that is possible. I'm sure it's true in some cases. Prabodhananda Prabhu. No. When one commits Vaishnava aparad or guru aparad is a type of Vaishnava aparad. You know, if one sincerely repents and approaches the Vaishnava and begs for forgiveness, then generally the Vaishnava will forgive and accept the person back. And if by chance the offense was so grievous and the Vaishnava's anger does not subside, then one should continue to chant and pray and one thing I've suggested to devotees, I mean, it may not be like guru aparad, but some sort of Vaishnava aparad, that if they can't approach the Vaishnava who they've offended, they can approach the servants or the dear ones of the Vaishnava and serve them and try to please them. But yeah, basically, yeah, you just keep trying. You keep trying to serve the Vaishnava you've offended, and please the Vaishnava you've offended, so that he'll, you know, his heart will soften and he'll give up his anger and accept you again. But you know, it really has to come from deep in your heart. No, it can't just be like lip service. You know, oh, please forgive me. I've committed an offense. Please forgive me. It's really come from deep in the heart. And eventually, if that repentance is very deep, and that mood of desperation is very strong, and Krishna will help make some arrangement.
They are in that situation, avoid the offense by taking initiation from somebody else, thinking that, well, now I'm serving that person, so through that person I'm going to actually do absolve my sins. Can they do that?
No. No. That will make it worse. Make it much worse. All right, well, we could discuss more, of course, but I think we can end here. And, well, I will probably be going to Houston in the evening, but then I'll be back again on Monday for a couple of days. Then I received a very strong letter from His Holiness Indradumya Swami, requesting would be too mild, demanding would be closer, but it sounds a little too much, but imploring me to be present here for his Vyasa Puja. And saying that he hopes I don't have any other plans, but if I do, I should change them. And I did have other plans, but I decided I will come, and other people who are involved in the other plans are cooperating. So looks like I'll be back for the Memorial Day weekend. And then again in August, God willing, for Lord Balaram's appearance day here. All right. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.